Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, and once again, joining us for a second episode in a row, actually, it's Toby Skelton. How are you doing, Toby? All right?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me on again. I do appreciate it.
No problem at all. So we're here just to look over the last week, really, and there's been three games, isn't there? So obviously the win against Gateshead, draw at Barnet, and then the defeat last night to Eastleigh. But I think let's start maybe with just a little look at, you know, where the position of the club is, because obviously we've moved into November. That was getting a lot of traction a couple of days ago as to, you know, are people paid? Were they not paid? Has a deal been done? Has it not been done? Matt, you're probably better positioned than any of us. Where is it as you understand it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously spoken to Peter Swan last Thursday, I think it was. And I think we put it out on Twitter that he'd said that we were as close as we've ever been, really, to selling. However, at that time, he wasn't sure which way it was going to go. He did say that there were still two groups interested, obviously one being the local consortium and then the other one being the, for want of a better term, the London consortium. You know, I think they've been referred to that previously. And he did confirm that that group were the ones that passed the fit and proper test, you know, all the way back in the summer, which, you know, I think that's kind of appears to have been on and off, you know, several times. But I do believe that they are still in the running. So, yeah, I mean, he did make it clear that the club need investment, need taking over as soon as possible. And obviously, he said he's working hard to try and do that. But it's just interesting, really. I don't know. You know, there's been a lot flying around on Twitter and social media in the past few days. Obviously, as we were heading towards the weekend, there was quite a lot of rumours and things like that. And I'm not sure where quite a lot of that is coming from. You know, I think the only information we've got from really reliable sources, you know, people close to the club, is obviously what Swan came back with last Thursday. You know, one thing I do know is that the local group, I think there's only, obviously, Simon Elliott, I think it's common knowledge that he is involved in some form with that consortium. I think he's the only one that's passed, you know, the fit and proper tests. But I'm not sure whether it would be, you know, I think he's passed the one for the director. I don't know if there's a separate one for owners, things like that. I think that's something that would still need to be sorted out. So I think people kind of were getting a bit excited after Swan had obviously said that we were quite close. You know, I think that's going to happen, given this has been going on for quite some time now, and people are just hoping it can get done sooner rather than later, so we can all kind of move on and the long term future of the club can be secured. But I do think if it was the local consortium that came in and were successful in purchasing the club, I do think it's going to take a little bit longer, given, you know, there's quite a lot of processes to go through with various bodies, whether it's the FA, the league, whatever it is. And obviously, the fit and proper tests, everything's got to be done and in place. So I think it was probably wishful thinking and, you know, a bit unrealistic that it was going to happen over the weekend. But, you know, I've had quite a lot of people messaging, asking sort of what I know. And I don't know that much, really, only going on what, you know, I've been told by Swan. And I just think, you know, there's a lot of sort of misinformation out there, which, I don't know, is probably getting people quite excited and then a bit deflated when nothing comes of it. Whether the club could do a little bit more to update, whether Swan or Turnbull could maybe update the fans. I know, you know, if there's nothing to say, then maybe they can't. And I know they're under NDAs and things like that. But, you know, it might be nice if we were given some kind of update, and, you know, if nothing happens in the next couple of weeks, then I think that would be necessary, really. But again, with sort of the payments and wage payments and things like that, I know, and there was a lot of things going around on social media, people hadn't been paid. I think it was late into bank accounts compared to, you know, how it goes in usually, at midnight or it's close to midnight, you know, generally wages go in, don't they, on midnight of the day that they're going in. And that wasn't the case. So, you know, I know there's been suggestion there may be cash flow issues and things like that. But again, we don't know. Again, that's just speculation, rumours, and we don't know for sure. And I doubt the club are going to confirm that. But I do know that the staff down there that are worried. You know, it is going on. It has been going on for quite some time. Obviously, Peter Swan has said that he can't put money in forever and cover the losses forever. And there will come a time when he has to stop that. Obviously, that money did materialise on whenever it was Friday, so the wages did go in. But yeah, how long that goes on for, who knows? I think we just try and got to get it over the line as soon as possible, and hopefully we can do that. But yeah, the longer it goes on, I think the more worried everyone gets, really.
You say that London group had passed the fit and proper test. What was the hold up from then on? Do you know? Is, you know, why was it not sold to them?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I think obviously they've been. This was a few months ago now, wasn't it? Mm. It was when we'd spoken to Swan in the summer, so I think they've been interested for quite a considerable amount of time. But again, yeah, who knows? It was reported. I think Swan came out to say that was dead at one point, didn't he? I think It was the Humberside said, you know, that's done, and you know that's not going to happen. But obviously they've come back. There was suggestion they were involved in the friendly, you know, with the Dutch sort of 11 that went on at the club last week. No information really around that was published, was it? But I know there was some speculation that they may have been involved with that. Obviously nothing confirmed, but that was quite interesting. And I believe that they maybe had representatives down there on that day as well at the ground. So I still think they are very much interested, but... but yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens. Obviously, as far as we know, there's still two parties involved, and hopefully one can kind of come through and do a deal. But yeah, I don't know. Obviously, hopeful on the back of what Swan said last week. But yeah, as I said, the longer it goes on, I think it's it does get even more worrying, doesn't it? Especially with, you know, wages and things like that being late and rumours like that. You know, there's often no smoke without fire, is there? So there must be something to it. But hopefully it can get done. But until then, until we get some clarification from the club, who really knows what's going on behind the scenes? And I think from what I have heard, things are kind of changing quite quickly as well. So, you know, it could be on one minute, off the next, and it's who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I think it's just going to it's a big month, isn't it? Because I think obviously I don't know. There were suggestions October. Obviously, that's when the money was going to stop. Obviously, that's not being the case. But Swan did say that there will be a time, and you know, who knows when that's going to be.
Right, let's turn to on-the-pitch matters then, I think. So, as I say, three games this last week. Let's start with Gateshead then, 3-1 victory. I think knowing sort of how the other two games have gone and looking at our form previously, we've mentioned there's a lot of draws. I think it's very important that we did get that win. But it wasn't easy, really, was it? I mean, first half, you get that penalty late on, and I mean, at the time, it didn't look a penalty to me. It looked outside the box from where I was sat. I don't know if it was or not, but you know, you're one down again. I mean, the first half, it was awful.
Yeah, it was. And I think you were right with the penalty. I think I actually spoke to Toby on the night, and we weren't sure. We did think it was outside the box, but then on the video, I think the ref probably got it right, actually, in the end. I think he was maybe just inside, and it did hit an arm. So, yeah, I think he maybe got that call right. I know they weren't happy with it. But, yeah, we just needed something because, as you say, it was just a really poor sort of half again. And I think a better side would have probably taken advantage and got a couple of goals. But, yeah, I mean, the key thing was winning the game. I think they obviously, fans wanted to see a reaction on the back of the two defeats, especially the South End one. We all heard how bad that was from Toby last week. And I think the given there were question marks over sort of commitment and things like that, that's kind of the least we needed, really. We needed a win any kind of way. And ultimately that's what we got. I think the second half was a lot better, but against a better side, we've got obviously a couple of better sides coming up in Wrexham and you know, a few others. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how we fare, because I don't think we're going to get away with it against teams like that, to be honest.
No, Toby, actually, I'd just be interested to hear what you said, because obviously you're at Southend and you, we were talking, weren't we, on the last one about commitment. And I think, you know, from my point of view, from the games I've seen, that second half, I'd agree with Matt there, there was a bit of an improvement. What was it, what was the like comparing the team from what you saw Southend to what you saw at Gateshead?
Worlds apart, to be honest with you. Obviously, the first half against Gateshead was very, very poor and abject once again. But the second half was by far and away worlds apart from the Southend game. The players seemed up for it. There was a sort of renewed, I guess, energy about the place. The fans really played their part as well. I thought the atmosphere was very good second half. They just seemed like a different team, really. You know, against Southend, it was really flat. It was really lethargic. But against Gateshead, second half, it was just, you know, they, we were in their faces, I thought. Nuttall was putting himself about very well, I thought, as well. Apta was definitely up for it as well. I'm not too sure why that was the case, but no, completely different sort of performances and a massive win, because obviously after the Southend game, we were all saying that, you know, that was a must-win game. And if we didn't win that game, we could be in serious bother. But, you know, we had to win that one, and we did. Again, the first half was poor. Second half was just like a different team completely. And yeah, it was good to see Wilson come on as well, I thought, actually. You know, he won the penalty as well. He's not been playing much recently, but it was nice to see him sort of make a difference in the game as well. You know, the second half, we just came out all guns blazing. You know, I don't know what Dawe said at halftime. I don't know if there was something that he said particularly that was helpful, but, you know, we were just, obviously we scored late in the first half. And in the second half, we just, you know, scored again. I think it was at the second minute of the second half as well. So it must have been a very, very good team talk there from Dawes. But no, I think we sort of controlled the game as well. Gates said they weren't a bad side, I don't think, but their strikers are very, very wasteful. They had a lot of the possession, but they didn't do anything with it. So we weren't particularly, I wasn't really concerned that they'd score another goal. Because obviously their first one was basically a mistake from Ogle that led to their guy going through on goal. But no, it was nice. It was nice to finally, you know, get a home win. And I think after that game, the atmosphere was different because the fans seemed a lot more upbeat. There was a renewed sort of belief that, you know, there could be a sale, there could be, you know, better times ahead. And obviously since then, it's not quite materialised. But I think leaving the game off the gate, you said, a lot of us just felt, you know, a lot more enthused, happier about things, thinking that there is, you know, some sort of end of the tunnel scenario going on here. But, you know, unfortunately, the other two games weren't particularly as entertaining or as happy as that one.
No, well, obviously, Barnet, as we said before, it got pulled forward, didn't it? So, you know, you're playing the Friday night, so it's only a couple of days afterwards. It's the 1-1 draw. Obviously, I know the goals are late on. I think the significant thing from this game is the Nuttall situation, which I think we can talk about shortly. But, you know, a draw at Barnet away, you know, I guess before the game, you'd have probably taken that.
I think that getting a point against them is a good result on paper. You know, it's annoying that we scored and conceded on afterwards, but, you know, before the game, we'd have all taken a point at Barnet because they are sort of one of the teams that on their day, they can absolutely steamroll at anyone in this league. So to go there, to get a point, isn't a bad result overall.
No, and I think maybe let's just have a quick look at Apta again. We've mentioned him countless times on the last couple of episodes, but, you know, another nice goal that he takes there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, without him, we'd be screwed, yeah. Basically. You know, that without sounding too talk defeatist, but, you know, he's a fantastic player. It was a good finish right in the corner as well. So yeah, he's been the difference maker for us recently. And, you know, if he does go in January, it's going to be a massive void to fill there. You know, he's been our talisman since he came. And yeah, if he does leave, it will leave us with a bit of work to do, shall we say.
Just rewinding back slightly, because obviously those goals were in the sort of last 10 minutes, weren't they? Let's just talk maybe about the first half. So you mentioned again, you know, after Gateshead, there's this renewed, you know, attitude, things like that. Did that translate, you know, in the first half? How did it go?
Well, the first half wasn't very eventful, to be honest with you. Not an awful lot happened. I think Barnet were perhaps the better team slightly, but, you know, we weren't being outplayed. There was no sort of disparity between the two teams. You know, one team wasn't massively better than the other one. It was sort of a first half of relatively few chances, you know. Again, Apta was bright, as you'd expect from him. But, you know, there wasn't an awful lot. You know, halftime wasn't many particularly prominent talking points, shall we say. So, but, you know, it wasn't like the Southend game. You know, we didn't go there You know, we didn't concede early on. We didn't just, you know, sit back all the time. We were actively trying to attack at times. So it wasn't all doom and gloom.
And I think let's talk about Nuttall in a second. And we bring you on here because, you know, you go to these games and you've got all this insight, but you're not much use for this one, are you? Would you like to tell people why you were you no good and you can't comment on Nuttall's situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially at half time, I just put a sticker on a wall and I removed it straight away. But then some overzealous stewards come into my face and say, you're being kicked out. And I'm saying, well, you know, what for? You know, it's quite an innocuous thing to do, or I moved it straight away. And with that, the stewards sort of get into my face. Three of them just grabbed me and essentially threw me out. So I had to go back to the pub and just watch sort of the BBC news and going through Twitter for the next 45 minutes. So I wasn't much use for that Barnet game, unfortunately. So.
and you set off at something ridiculous like 4 a.m. as well, didn't you? Because yeah, the train's so running, is there?
Yeah, all the trains from Scunthorpe were sort of cancelled between 8 a.m. and around 3 p.m. So I got the train at 7:55 at Barnaby, was in London by about 10. And to get chucked out at half time for a sticker, I mean, it was horrible. It was a really bad experience. So hopefully there's no more Barnet trips next season. I don't want to go there again. It was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Matt, let's go to you then. So we've got this situation. It's at the end of the game, isn't it? As it appears on the video, you've got maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 fans down the front after the game, sort of given abuse again towards Nuttall, and he sort of reacts back a little bit and then sort of seemingly a bit of, I don't know, something going on there. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think he is at times being targeted probably unfairly by a select group of fans. I think it doesn't help what happened at the back end of last season. I think that was obviously out of order and the way he reacted that day. Obviously, very frustrating time for him, wasn't it, back end of last season, because I think he came in, didn't really do a great deal. He was poor in most games, wasn't he? Didn't really look fit, and he had a really poor end to the season. It's difficult because, you know, I don't think any of us would like someone, you know, slagging us off when we're trying to work. And I know it's slightly different being a footballer. People expect them to take it, and people expect them to take it on social media. And yeah, I can understand that. But I do think, obviously, back into last season, the way he reacted, you know, that it can happen as a one-off, I suppose. But to happen again, it is disappointing. Even if there are fans that are kind of bombarding him with abuse. I do think, you know, looking at it, whether you think he's a great player or not, he has been scoring goals. Obviously, top scorer by some distance, amongst the top scorers in the league. I know a lot of those have been penalties, but at the end of the day, you know, he still...
We're not in a position to be fussy, are we?
No, exactly. And, you know, I think he's probably... thinking of top scorers in sort of last few seasons, he certainly scored more than maybe even the top couple of scorers, hasn't he? Thinking back to last season, especially. So he's scoring goals. And, you know, I think fans do need to lay off him a little bit. I think there's maybe... I see it quite often, you know, I hear it at games, people saying he's a bit lazy, you know, he's not putting a shift in, things like that. Obviously, can't comment on the Barnet game, as obviously I wasn't there. However, you know, at home games, I think recently, I think he's put a shift in, I think he's tried quite hard. You know, I think his biggest problem for me at times is he doesn't use he's a big lad, isn't he? He doesn't use that to his advantage at times. I think he can be... not pushed off the ball too easily, because I think when he does receive the ball, he generally keeps hold of it quite well. But I think, you know, winning headers and things like that, at times I think he could use his weight a little bit more. And I think that's maybe sometimes there's a bit of a sort of misconception that he's not trying, he's not putting the effort in. I just think maybe he can throw his weight around a little bit more and kind of get stuck in. Because I think when he does that, he looks a decent player at this level. And I think, you know, we've got to be careful, because obviously the club were happy to sell him. Well, maybe not happy, but obviously needed the money and obviously accepted the bid from Oldham. He's turned that down. you know, we don't know if he's turned it down because he desperately wants to stay at Scunthorpe, or whether, you know, he may be waiting for a better offer further down the line. However, he turned it down at that time. And I think, you know, I think he deserves credit for that, because it would have been easy for him to go nearer to home, probably more money, a lot more money than he was on. So, you know, fair play, he's turned that down, and he's kind of said he wants to stay and score some goals, which is great. I think he obviously worked hard in the summer to get fit. I think there's a massive difference if you compare his performances last season to this season. I think there's a massive improvement. To be honest, I'm not sure what people are expecting from him, really, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're in the National League. I think he scored, is it 10 now? Something like that. Double figures nearly. If he isn't there already, he's around that mark. And yeah, I just don't know what people are really expecting from him. He's going to have kind of off days. He's going to have good games. But at the end of the day, if you take his goals out, we've not scored that many, have we? And I know there's quite a lot of penalties. I know people will argue that there are penalties in that tally. But I do think maybe fans should just lay off him a little bit, because, you know, he did choose to stay. He has been scoring goals, and overall, I think he's probably one of our better players. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a good player or not, you know, he is a key part of this side at the moment. And I think if you take him out and we had have sold him to Oldham, there'd have been uproar as well from probably the same people that are slagging him off every week, saying, you know, why have we sold the top scorer and things like that. So, you know, maybe a little bit fickle at times, and I'm sure if he scores in the next couple of games, you know, them fans may be off his back a little bit. But it was good to hear that he'd been down to the pub at the bar at the ground after the game with a couple of players. I think Tony Dawes went as well, and they all kind of settled that afterwards and, you know, shook hands and moved on from it, because I think we've got a lot of problems at the club at the moment, and I think no one wants to see players and fans, you know, in each other's faces and arguing and things like that. It's just...
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just real toxic environment if it gets like that, and we could do without that, to be honest. And it doesn't really help anyone. It's not going to help Nuttall. So, yeah, hopefully that's kind of put to bed now, and that's the end of it. But again, yeah, he's maybe said some things in the heat of the moment. Obviously, the fans have been giving him a bit of stick all night. Yeah, you know, the fans probably have to take a little bit back. But I do think he maybe just has to have a little think and maybe just try and not react as much as he does, because that's the second time now, and ultimately some of these fans are going to be sort of have a black mark against his name, aren't they, and they're going to be targeted him for more, especially after a bad result. And you know, that's just how people are. And yeah, we'll have to see, but hopefully he can score in the next couple of games, and I'm sure it'll all be forgotten about. But yeah, we've got to make sure it's not happening regularly, because it's just not something you want to see.
Right, should we turn to last night then? So obviously, East League, this is the one that we lose 2-0 defeat. It was never really going to be an easy one, this one, was it? I think they were and obviously still are unbeaten at home this season, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they've played 7 at home, 1-6, drawn 1. So their home form is incredible, really, yeah.
So what did you make of it then, Toby? I mean, you managed to get through 90 minutes of this game, so you can give us a perspective of the whole match.
Yeah, and I wish that I didn't, really, overall. No, I mean, it was always going to be a very tough game, as you said there, Brad. But the thing is that I don't think a few players really did not try the hardest. Like O'Malley, I don't want to like sort of have a go at one player in particular, but O'Malley was incredibly poor, I thought, last night. I'm not particularly too sure why, because usually he's a good player against Gateshead. He was man of the match, wasn't he? So, but O'Malley was poor. The midfield, I don't think Beeston had a great game, nor did Butterfield. I will say Nuttall, though. He definitely tried. But again, the service to Nuttall is just, it's lackluster. I mean, he can win the headers, but if there's no one to lay the ball off to, if there's no balls into the box for him, you know, what more can you do, really? So I think the first half, we were fortunate that it was 0-0 at half-time, because Easton were the better team by far. They created a few chances. Again, they weren't perhaps clinical in the first half, but we were by far and away the sort of the worst team in the game. Both of their goals were essentially a repeat of the each other, because it was from, so we give the ball away in our half, then they go and counter, and also the same player scored both goals. So the same player was a substitute who came on in the around the 70th minute, scored two goals, got man of the match. So I mean, what a sub that was from their manager. But I think overall in the game, you know, we just got bypassed too easily in the midfield again. It was similar to Southend in that our midfielders let their players sort of run through. I think in the first half, so if I look on the highlights in the first half, there was one incident where on the sort of right-hand side, their fullback goes sort of through about three players and no one puts a foot in to stop him. So that's a big concern for me, because if we're letting players run past us, you know, especially against the bigger teams, like you say, your Wrexham, your Notts Counties, if we're doing that, we're letting players run through us and we're going to concede, you know, four or five goals in these games. So I think it was fortunate it was just two against Eastleigh. Although Boyce had two great chances, though, because we had two corners in space of about 5 minutes, and Boyce, again, three headers, put them both over the bar. You know, we're all staying the away end that, you know, he's going to score. He's going to score one of these, surely, but both of them just over the bar, and it was very, very frustrating. But I think on reflection, a two-all scoreline, you know, no one can complain about that. We were second best. You know, we were again slow. It's the same issues week in, week out, away from home, it seems. It's just, you know, we're just so slow, we're just so lethargic. You know, we let players run through us. You know, again, it's a hot knife through butter sort of scenario that their players can just run straight past. You know, we don't put a tackle in, they go through, and you know, they get a great sort of scoring opportunity. So, you know, it's annoying, because obviously I went the whole way down there as well. There was 140 away fans as well, which is a great effort on a Tuesday night to Hampshire. So the fans must be committed for that. But again, to go all that way to witness that, it is very sort of demoralising. But I think, yeah, before the game, a lot of us did think it would be a very, very tough game, and that, you know, if we can nick a draw, we'd take it. But, you know, these are the games that we don't expect to win, obviously. So I'm not too concerned, really, because, you know, we all thought it'd be a tough game. That home form again is imperious. But, yeah, I think a 2-0 scoreline is definitely the fair result.
I think you make a good point on the midfield. And it was something, actually, Nigel Adkins picked up on commentary last night. You know, he said Beeston, when he's seen him in the past, quite athletic, things like that. But we're missing that sort of enforcer, if you like, in the middle of the park. And he was a little bit critical, I think, of Butterfield. I mean, he wasn't overly critical, but he did say that, you know, at times he was, again, as you say, just being bypassed. And I think we've seen that in quite a few of the games recently. Yeah. Where there's just no one in that midfield, and it is putting a lot of pressure on the defence. I know the defence isn't great, but at times you're looking at it and they've just got the run of the midfield, and I think it has been, you know, it is becoming a problem. I think it has been a problem all season. Obviously Whitehouse, don't know where he is, I don't know if he's injured or not. I didn't hear anything in the build-up to suggest he was, but he's obviously been missing. And even when he's been in there, I know he doesn't, you know, shy away from a tackle, but even then, when he's been in there, he's not really, for me, fulfilled that role. And I still think we're still getting overrun in midfield, regardless of who's in there. And I think he's tried various things. I think he's obviously, and Hill did as well. Obviously, two in there, three in there, and for whatever reason, it's just not working. That I just don't think the personnel is quite right. I mean, I do like Beeston. And I do think Butterfield's got some quality. I think, you know, on the ball, I think he's good. I do think off it, you know, when he's having to track back, when he's having to, you know, follow players who may be a little bit more athletic and you know, we're not coming to the end of the career, I think he does struggle a little bit. And, yeah, I think that was, again, evident just from the commentary last night. It was something as I say, Adkins picked up on, and I thought he was spot on with that. I think it's just something we've kind of been worrying about in the last few weeks. We know the defence isn't brilliant, but at times I do think they could do with a little bit more help. But I don't know if that's going to be resolved. You know, it doesn't sound like we've got any money available to bring players in or anything like that. I think we've kind of stuck with what we've got at the moment. And even in January, I think it's going to be very difficult to do any business really as well, unless it's loans. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, how we kind of go about that. But I think that's been a big problem for the past couple of seasons. I don't think it's, you know, just this season. I think you think back to when we actually had a couple of players in there that kind of really did take the game by the scruff of the neck, get a foot in. I think you're going back to sort of, you know, Dawson, Bish, Ojo to an extent. I think he was quite decent at times. And since then, we've not really had anyone that can do that. I think obviously we had, what was his name?
Arajan.
Yeah, I mean, he did to an extent. You know, he put himself about and he was quite good. And the guy that went to, I think he went to Markham in the end, I think, midfielder.
Songo.
Songo, yeah. I mean, he didn't play that much, did he? But when he did play, he was a bit more of maybe what we need. I'm not saying he was brilliant, but he did break up play and do the simple things. And I think we are missing that a little bit at times. And it is just coming straight back. So it's something they do need to look at. But yeah, it's going to be difficult given the situation as it is at the moment. It's frustrating because obviously at the start of the season as well, we were told, oh, well, National League, there's no transfer windows. We can sign players all the way through. It's not going to be a problem. If we need someone, we can go out and get them. But obviously the off-field situation has made that very tricky, and that's obviously not the case. I know we did bring in Lavery, didn't we, and Pugh. However, you look at the bench last night, you know, Dawes must be turning around thinking, you know, I've got very little... next to no options really from the bench that are going to come on and change your game, especially, you know, someone in midfield that could shore it up a little bit. I don't think we've got that. I don't think we've got anyone. I know Wilson came on, Gateshead did okay, but you know, you're putting the faith in young lads to kind of do it against some experienced players at this level, and I'm not sure that's the right answer either, but unfortunately that's all we've got at the minute. So the squad is looking really light, and I do think midfield is a massive area we do need to look at. But yeah, it's going to be tough to actually do that.
Regarding the whole thing about squad depth, that's a very good point, because obviously, you know, we made one sub last night, and that was an enforced sub because we got an injury. So I mean, you know, we were getting beat, you know, 1-0 until the 91st minute when they scored their second goal. You know, we didn't bring a single player on. I mean, I know the options aren't great. You know, we have Wilson. And we have Poulter, but to not bring anyone on at 1-0 down, you know, we might as well just go for it, because we're not expecting to win this game. You know, I thought we need a bit more sort of intent, a bit more desire by making a sub, you know, trying to freshen things up a little bit, because the team itself, you know, second half especially, you know, players look really tired, look, you know, sort of a bit of lack of energy really about the play. So I thought, you know, why not bring on someone like Wilson or Poulter, you know, just give them a chance, see what they can do basically. But there was nothing. And I know the options on the bench aren't great, but I like to see Dawes just think, you know what, nothing to lose, 1-0 down, just bring someone on, see what they can do. And, you know, if it works, you know, it'd be a genius. But, you know, it was quite frustrating because, you know, we in the away, and we all knew that we had to bring another sort of attacker on because it was a bit sort of, you know, dull up front, second half especially, and, you know, that didn't happen, and it was frustrating. But also, like, you know, in terms of attacking options, you know, Carver, you know, I don't know how long his loan lasts for, but I think he'd be better than having just Wilson on the bench. You know, someone like Carver, he's experienced. Okay, he's not been great for us, but I think he scored one or two at Southport on loan so far as well, so why not bring him back as an option potentially? I don't know. It just seems like Dawes doesn't like making subs. I've noticed that in a lot of the games recently that he's not a fan of making subs until the very sort of last minute. You know, against Barnet, they were late on it. He brought up Wilson and Poulter in that 90th minute as well. So I'm not too sure why that is. Maybe he doesn't trust the subs, perhaps. I'm not too sure. But I'd just like to see players brought on earlier, especially if it's 1-0 or if it's 1-0 or something. You know, give them a chance, see what they can do. Nothing to lose. And we don't do that. So it is very frustrating once again.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Carver, we've not seen him that much, obviously, and I think he was injured when we signed him. And again, I think Turnbull did admit he was injured when he came in. Obviously, question marks as to why he came in when he's injured. And he's never really got to fitness, obviously loaned out to get a bit of fitness at Southport. So, you know, hopefully that'll do him some good. But I did see a player that he was going to chase balls down. He was going to, you know, throw himself about and put a bit of a shift in. And I think at the moment, you're looking at the bench, he, for me, would be a better option on the bench than some of the young lads, purely because of his experience and because, it, you know, he's a bit more physical presence and he's someone that you could chuck on and, you know, pump balls forward and try and win the second balls in and around the box. I think that would be a good option for us. Obviously, I don't think we were able to bring him back. Did we extend his loan, I think? And we've only had there was like a 28-day recall or something like that on him. So it must be getting close to the time we can bring him back. And I'd like to see him given a chance, really. You know, even if it's just off the bench, it just strengthens that you know, the options for Dawes, because as you say, at the moment he's got very little choice. And there's a couple of others, actually. I know, you know, Daniel seems to have gone missing, doesn't he? I don't know if that's an injury or whatever, but we've not seen much of him. I know he's not been great as he went when he has actually played. But yeah, he's obviously missing. The lad from Barnsley, you know, he was injured. I don't know how long he's going to be. So we are missing a few players, and that's the problem, isn't it, when you're operating with a fairly small squad. If the injuries mount, you know, you are struggling. And Feeney as well, you know, we completely forgot about him. Not sure how far he is. I think Dawes did say he was a couple of weeks away, and that must have been last week or the week before when I heard that. So maybe he's coming back to fitness soon. So, you know, they would be better options from the bench, certainly in the attacking sense, that may be able to change a game. Again, not fantastic options by any stretch, but yeah, just something a little bit different and not just relying on the kids. But I do agree with what you said there, Toby, about Dawes making subs. I think there was a couple of times when he's been pulled up on it in interviews after the game, and a couple of times I've agreed with him when he said, you know, we've been playing quite well, so I didn't want to change it. But I think there are times when, if he had better options, he probably would have made subs earlier than he has, or actually when he hasn't made subs, he would have maybe changed it earlier on. And I do feel for him in that sense, because it's very difficult. And if your plan A is not working and you don't quite think plan B is up to it, then you know, you're in a tricky spot. And I think overall, if you look at his record, he's doing okay. I think he's probably doing as best as, or better than we would have expected. I think we obviously a few points short in that draw, that run of draws where we could have turned a couple of those into wins. But I don't think anyone expected him to come in and sort of turn it round overnight and get this team winning, because I think ultimately we're not quite good enough. And I think we're probably good enough to stay up as it stands at this moment in time. But I think if you take Apter out, you take Nuttall out, then, you know, the goals have gone, the creativity's gone. And I think then, for me, we would be certain for relegation unless we replace them. And the problem is, at the moment, obviously, the money, obviously, we didn't need the money for Nuttall. That didn't happen. So obviously, you know, that there is a need for that cash from, you know, for the club to continue. But again, if he goes, that money's not going to go on the replacement, is it? It's going to go on the upkeep of the club. And hopefully, you know, if someone does come in and manage to take over in the near future, we might stand a better chance of keeping some of those players. But unfortunately, you know, at this moment in time, we've just got to run with what we've got and hopefully not lose any more to injuries and things like that. Because I think if we do, we're really going to struggle. And you know, it's going to be interesting how we cope with Wrexham next week. Because I think they will take advantage. I know we've spoken about the midfield and the sloppy defending and things like that. They will take advantage with the quality of player they have. You know, that could be a really difficult night. You know, it might be that we turn up and get a result, and that would be typical, wouldn't it? But yeah, I think it could be a tough one next week, and we might be talking about a big defeat if we don't get it right and don't show up that middle of the pack and defensively making too many mistakes and things like that. We'll see.
Obviously, that's just over a week away. We've got it's cup rounds this weekend, isn't it? Which, of course, we're not in. So, I guess for the first time in a while, it does give them a little bit of recovery time, really, doesn't it? I mean, we've had quite a bit of backlog of fixtures. Obviously, Eastleigh was a rearranged one, wasn't it? Do you think it will sort of do them a little bit of good to have a couple of days into training, not as intensive fixture period, let them sort of prepare right for this game?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Personally, I mean, obviously, it has been very, very intense recently. I think, maybe get a few players back if possible as well. Obviously, with the whole injury backlog recently, maybe see if Whitehouse is able to return again, Daniel possibly as well. I think it can't do it much harm, really. I've had a lot of away games recently, so it's nice to have two home games in a row as well. So I think the biggest game for me is the one against Maidstone a week on Saturday, because obviously Maidstone's form recently has been terrible. They're joint bottom. They've not won since August either. So home against them, you would think that it's another sort of six-pointer, if you will. So the Wrexham game, it's a free hit, really. No one expects us to get anything from that one. If we get beat, no one's going to be particularly surprised or concerned, I wouldn't think, unless it's a massive scoreline. But the big one for me, Maidstone. If we don't win that one, questions, I think, will be asked, really, because they're away form as well. I don't think they've won away, I could be wrong, but they've not won home or away since August either. And they're basically in 3-4 right now. So, I think Dawes, it's a sort of welcome break for him. Can hopefully improve the midfield, because the midfield has been, poor recently. So hopefully he can sort of go over a few things with the players and then, get them all fired up for Wrexham. Because again, the Wrexham game, again, no one expects to get anything from it. But, if we come out, we attempt to actually play, we sort of save face, if you will, keep the score down, we'd all take that. So, yeah. But against Maidstone, we've got to win that one, if you ask me right now.
Right. And I think let's probably end there for this one. Toby, thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having me again. Cheers.
No, not at all. Thank you very much for listening to this. As I mentioned on the last podcast, we've hopefully got an in-conversation with Martin Wolford coming up very soon. We did have to rearrange the recording of that one due to some unavoidable commitments. But hopefully we're getting that done pretty soon. It'll come out. So we've definitely got that one to come. We've also got definitely one more and hopefully two more to come as well. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll get a couple of in-conversations out. But as I say, thank you for listening to this and we'll see you on the next one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.